Hello and welcome to New Life. My name is Mark Cameron. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and co-host on New Life Live. Today I want to talk to you about emotional triggers and reactivity. What is an emotional trigger? Well, an emotional trigger is any type of stimulus that elicits strong emotions and sets in motion a reactivity patterns. Okay, the stimulus is a reminder or an association to a past event for us. And so what happens is typically if we have any kind of significant event, for instance, like a car accident, especially if I thought that I was in danger of losing my life, that would impact me. And my brain would remember that going forward. Or if we have repeated experiences with a significant person, such as with a parent, and how we learn how to react to that parent, that gets coded into our brains and we repeat that over and over again. So reactions are actually unconscious, meaning that we don't really think about them before we do them. They are reactions, repeated actions that we perform over and over again. Sometimes reactivity is anger, other times it's blame. Some of us dismiss and avoid as a way not to feel, and others of us please to try and make anxiety go away for us, okay? So it's important to understand how we work as human beings. So as human beings, we are very purposeful in our actions and behaviors. We do not do things randomly. So all of our actions are driven by an emotion or a feeling, okay? So I know a lot of times we'll use the words emotions and feelings interchangeably. So for this explanation here, I'm going to say that feelings are bodily feelings. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm tired, and emotions are I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm mad. Okay, so for instance, if I were to be looking in the fridge, this is my action, I'd be feeling hungry likely, and I would need food. If I were to be stretching and yawning, I'd be feeling tired and likely need sleep or rest. Okay, so those are bodily feelings. Let's talk about emotions here. If I were a little kid and I'm hiding underneath the bed, I likely feel scared and I need safety, security, and protection to take away my fear. If I was at school sitting by myself, everyone's sitting with their friends, I likely would be feeling lonely and I'd need companionship. And if I was pacing around, biting my nails, maybe I'm feeling nervous, anxious, or worried. And if I feel worried, I need reassurance. I need someone to say to me, hey, Mark, everything's going to be okay. Or if they don't know everything's going to be okay, I need them to tell me, you know what? I'm going to be here with you. I need that kind of reassurance, okay? So that's how we work as human beings. But what happens if we don't get our need met? If we don't get our need met, then we start to think of different actions, different behaviors to get those needs met. So for instance, if I was hungry and I was looking in the fridge and there was no food, I wouldn't open the door to the fridge again. I'd figure out where I needed to get food. I'd go to the grocery store. I'd go to a fast food restaurant. And the same thing happens with our emotions. If for instance, I don't feel heard, then I might learn to raise my voice to become heard, right? And that's what I learn to do, and that's what I get conditioned to do. Or if I just don't get heard, if raising my voice doesn't work, then I just might feel hopeless, and I might just give up and dismiss and avoid, right? Because if I lived in a place of famine and there was no food, what could I do? I'd become hopeless and feel despair. Okay, so now this sounds like it's bad news, but the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? And because God's designed us in this amazing way, he's built into us our brain design a hard wiring system to adapt to life circumstances, right? And so in our brains, we have a small part called the amygdala, and the amygdala is our emotion center. And that's what the part of the brain that helps us respond or react to emotions. Now, typically, if we just went with the amygdala response, it would most likely be a reaction. So what we need to learn to do is we need to learn how to turn on the front part of our brain called the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex is the thinking CEO or the mission control center of our brains. And so what we want to do is we don't want to get rid of our feelings altogether. We want to integrate those two things. We want to integrate the thoughts and we want to integrate the emotions together so that we can take an integrated approach. So I mentioned reactions and responses, okay? So how do we get good at anything? Well, we have to practice to get good at anything, right? That's called conditioning, right? And in neuroscience, we call that neural pathway building, okay? And so what's the difference between a reaction and a response? Okay, so a reaction I mentioned was unconscious. It's something that we do without thinking about it. So for instance, someone threw an apple at me or a ball at me, I'm going to react in a certain way. If I don't see it coming, I'm going to move out of the way and I'm going to dodge it, or maybe I'll catch it, right? But I'm not going to think about it. I'm not really going to think about what's being thrown at me. I'm just going to do one or two things with it, right? And so reactions are unconscious, but responses are conscious, right? Responses are ways that we think about the individual situation and what's the most adaptive thing to do in this individual situation, okay? And you know, there's a reason why we call those who help us first responders and not first reactors, right? I don't know about you, but I don't want a first reactor showing up when I need help. I want a first responder showing up. Sadly, many of us are first reactors. I know that I am, and I have had to work hard to learn how to not react and how to respond instead. And in trying to figure out how to do that, I've had to figure out my childhood wounds, my patterns, and figure out what it is that I did to learn how to react and how that's not helping me now. You see, because when we're younger, we end up in this one up, one down position, right? We're kids and we don't have as much power and responsibility in relationships. And so the reactions that happen to us are actually adaptive because that's what we know how to do. That's what's within our control. However, 2 decades of conditioning that way, it's not easy to shake. And then when we get into adulthood, we move from this to this peer relationship where we have more power and more responsibility. However, we tend to go with the conditioning and we react and we do what we've learned how to do. And it's not always adaptive. In fact, it's a lot of the time it's destructive. And so the first thing we need to learn how to do is to not react. Learning how to recognize your reactivity pattern, like I mentioned earlier, whether it's blame, whether it's anger, whether it's avoidance, whether it's pleasing to appease, we need to first recognize what it is that we're doing and then learn when that starts and learn how to pause and stop doing that. Next, right, what that does is that stops the amygdala, the emotion center, from taking control and taking over. And it helps us pause long enough to engage the mission control thought center, the prefrontal cortex. And that helps us then to be able to integrate these two responses. We can recognize that we are feeling a certain emotion, right? And acknowledge that. For some of us, that's really hard to do. And so what I like to do is I like to use a list of emotions. The list that I like to use is the SOLWES list developed by Milan and Kay Yerkovich, and you can find that on their How We Love website for free. But if you don't have that, you can Google any type of emotions list. Really, it's just the prompt. And if we can figure out what it is that we're feeling, we can often then figure out the corresponding need, right? If I feel unseen, I need to be seen. If I feel unheard, I need to be heard. If I feel worried, I need reassurance, right? And if we can figure those things out, we can learn then to verbalize what it is that we're feeling and then ask for the corresponding needs. Because we do one of two things with our emotions. We either talk them out or we act them out. Or another way that I like to say is we either verbalize or we dramatize, right? And if we dramatize, then people have to guess what it is that we need. But if we verbalize, it's a lot more clear and it's easier for them to respond. So we have many resources at New Life that can help you uncover these reactivity patterns and learn how to respond rather than react. Many of the books that we mention on New Life Live are going to be very helpful for you. We also put on workshops throughout the year. Those are going to be very beneficial. And so I hope this has been helpful for you, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.